The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday, May 25th, 2018. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for Bill, who has finished 11 days in the Bahamas with his wife, Anne. Check out some great photos and thoughts from his trip on his Facebook page. It's great to have you back in the desert, Bill. The show is heard live Monday through Friday, noon to 1 p.m. right here on KVOI, 10:30 a.m., and we are live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. The Friday show also re-airs on Saturday at 7 a.m., and you can find archives of past shows at buckmastershow.com. Let's take a moment to acknowledge the Buckmaster Show media partners, all of whom are listed on Bill's website. They include TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, Sahuarita Sun, Inside Tucson Business, and Tucson Weekly, among others. In today's Friday Focus interview, we'll be talking to Tom Murphy. He is the mayor of Sahuarita. I am joined in studio by Dylan Smith. He's publisher and editor of TucsonSentinel.com. How you doing, Dylan?
All right.
Always glad to have you here. If you want to join the discussion, we'd love to have you, too. Call the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. Mayor Murphy, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Always good to have you. Let's set aside the mayor role for just a second, because you are also a member of our local school board.
And you've
had a big week.
We have had a big week.
And a couple of late nights. What's been going on?
Well, it's been two eighth grade promotion ceremonies, two high school graduation ceremonies, a combination of about 360 seniors that 250 or so last night at Walden Grove, and about 169 on Wednesday night at Sahuarita High School. So we had fireworks going, and over $8 million in scholarship, which is a new record for our school district, and lots of firsts. Each principal usually announces all of the accolades for the year, and it takes about 20 minutes, literally, for each principal to go through the first, the sports, the PAC dance team, all those types of things.
Absolutely. And like you say, millions of dollars in scholarships. I got the whole list this year. It is tremendous. And, now suddenly their lives will expand beyond this tiny campus, and I'm sure it'll seem tinier as they get out into the real world.
So, absolutely.
Lots of good stuff going on there.
Sure is.
I want to stay on the education theme here for a minute. We just went through a pretty rough April and May regarding the teacher walkout. And the big concern, I was talking to Superintendent Manny Valenzuela, the concern, of course, was when the teachers come back, what's the mood on campus? How are they going to work together? What's been going on? What has your sense been post-strike?
Yes, and I've actually had a pretty good sense of that, because traditionally this Friday morning after the graduation last night, we do a big breakfast, and a lot of the administrators and the school board members go over and cook omelets for all of our staff. And it really didn't feel a lot different than this morning than it has in past years, and that was my hope. Because any time you go through something like this, it's the sort of the repair and what are the damages. But I think over the years, and as you know, Dan, I've been on the school board upwards of 14 years, we've really tried to establish a really collaborative culture within the school district. And I think, fortunately, I think that trust that has been built up over the years has played well as we're coming out of this. And of course, we were able to through them having that voice, we were able to offer, as you know, a 10% raise for our teachers, a 7% raise for our classified, and 4% for administration. So I've been advocating for additional funding, as you know, in the state of Arizona for a long time. And the cuts have been hard, especially on the capital side, upwards of 85%. And I know some of that's being restored. So I think we're on a good path, but we're working together.
I'm a little curious, and I was going to ask about this anyway, but you just raised the issue of capital expenses.
Yes.
For most of Tucson's legacy districts, they face huge capital needs as far as repairing old buildings, dealing with infrastructure that is probably decades beyond its service life. And you have a slightly different, younger district? What are your capital and infrastructure needs?
Yes, and ours is interesting because we're a combination actually of both, because the district has been around for a long time. The town was only incorporated in 1994, but the district was formed really probably over 100 years ago because of the mining industry that was down in our area. So we have a combination of really new buildings, and we have a combination of some really old buildings. And it's been tough, to be frank, when you really should have about $2.4 million in capital formula coming to you and they sweep 85% and you have about $400,000. You know, you're really having to put that aside for the emergencies of the air conditioners and those types of things. And it doesn't give you the ability to keep, you know, the finish as high as you would like to. So having that restored. And then, of course, being a new district, the Schools Facilities Board, it's the building of new schools also, not only the repair, has been a struggle. This last school that we're under construction right now was $20 million, and that was funded by the voters. And every single school board meeting, virtually, we are thanking our voters because we have most things in place, capital override. That cut I mentioned, you know, we only had $400,000. Because of our voters, they approved a $1 million capital override. So we have at least 1.4, but that's still not the two. The old days, we would have had the $2.4 million plus the capital override. So there's just more things you can do when you have funds available, and it's obviously all for the kids.
And that new school that Mayor Murphy mentioned is called Wrightson Ridge.
Yes.
And it'll open up in January.
Yes, it will.
We're looking forward to that. And that's a K-8 school, correct?
Correct.
A couple of weeks ago, Bill Buckmaster and I interviewed Calvin Baker, who is the head of the Vail School District, and it was interesting that he mentioned all of the things that a school district has to pay for today that perhaps maybe 20, 30 years ago we didn't have to. And number one is security.
Right.
Not that we didn't have security issues 20 or 30 years ago, but certainly not like we see today. So a lot of money is not going into the classroom because there are the other obligations. And I know the Sahuarita district has made it clear that student safety is number one.
Absolutely. And there's never enough you can possibly do. As you know, I served 21 years in the Air Force. And bases have been breached, you know, over the years. And you're talking about security police and Constantine wire and those kinds of things. So there's almost nothing you can do, but you try to do everything you can do because student safety. And you're right, Dan. You know, when I was growing up to school, you know, you'd have, especially in the rural areas, you'd have people coming to school with a shotgun on the back of the, you know, the rifle rack and the pickup truck.
Exactly.
And so it's a really deep issue, but it's certainly something we're always concentrating on.
Yeah, and we should note that there was yet another school shooting today. I believe it was in Indiana, and so we're watching that. Always something in the forefront of your mind. Used to be in the back of our mind.
Yes.
And now it isn't.
Absolutely. Yeah, and as you said, and we have a great close relationship. We were able to bring on our second school resource officer. That was funded by a grant that the school district wrote and, you know, being a little bit supplemented by the town. So at least timing-wise, that was really good. And we have, you know, really we are within about a mile or two of each other of our police department and virtually all of our schools. So that ongoing collaborative relationship has been really strong and it continues to be.
Okay, back over to now town council matters. You're putting together the budget.
Yes.
I've seen a couple of things on there that I'll raise later on. Before we do that, I want to talk real quickly about the police force. We have a police chief who arrived two or three years ago. Since that time, half of the sworn officers have left for one reason or another. Most have resigned, couple retirements, couple moves, whatever.
Right.
Anytime that there's a new person in, you expect changes.
Right.
And you expect big changes. But more than 50% of the officers, does this concern you?
Yeah, no, not really. I mean, as you said, when new leadership comes in, change is likely going to happen. I know it happened on our school side as well when we had the new superintendent. And there's, you know, different philosophies, whether it be report writing or whatever else it may be. The thing that's been exciting, though, I think, as well, is the quality of the applicants and the new officers that we have brought on. Some new, some from our regional agencies, Pima County Sheriff or TPD. So, you know, I'm excited about that. But it's something certainly I know the town manager manages and watches, as well as the town council. But I do think we're in a good place.
But that 50%, more than 50% actually, has not raised an eyebrow that you know of.
Well, we're certainly watching it. I've asked about it, and it's the same way, again, on the school side. When I see one of these great teachers leave, you know, I do inquire, and it's, oh, the spouse was Border Patrol or military, and they happen to be leaving. Or one of our last great detectives that just retired, I had a nice conversation with him, and he's really helping support his kids, raising the grandkids, and just thought it was really time to, you know, be home and watching with them. So I think, as all things, there's transitions that happen. And with new philosophies, some people, you know, come along with it. Others don't. But it is something we're watching for sure, though.
50% sounds like a lot. But in absolute numbers, how big of a force are we talking about?
Yeah, we have about 44 or so sworn officers.
So 20 people have left over a couple of years.
Yeah, right. But probably closer to 25 have left. So something you're aware of, something you're watching, that's good. Okay, it is about 12:15. You are listening to the Buckmaster Show, and we're talking to Sahuarita Mayor Tom Murphy. We'll be right back for more of our Friday Focus interview.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion, and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. The Buckmaster Show, weekdays live during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shearer, sitting in for Bill. This portion of the show is presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is located on the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owners Steve and Sherry do a great job with European baked goods, breads, pastries, cakes, you name it. They are open for lunch right now. Unless you're listening to us on Saturday morning, then they're not open for lunch.
Then they're about to open for lunch, right?
Yeah, maybe later on. Just go get a Kringle then. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to BuckmasterShow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. Welcome back to our Friday Focus interview. We are talking to Sahuarita Mayor Tom Murphy. And Tom, if I may say, I think we have had one of the biggest pieces of news in Sahuarita this past week. In ages. And we are, it would appear, if it all goes through, Northwest has announced that it's going to open up an 18-bed hospital.
Oh, I thought you were talking about that I was running for re-election.
I knew you were going to get that in here somewhere, and he is. So that's a big piece of news.
It is a big deal, and obviously Northwest has a great reputation in the area, and it's one of those game-changing events, I think, to bring medical uses, just like a lot of times people feel like bringing in more retail, obviously, is big for your community. So, yes, I'm very excited. We're working together. I expect maybe the council will see some type of a proposal. Kelly Udall, our town manager, is working really hard on getting that in front of us probably by June. So
at this point, they've got the land. They're going to go on. They're leasing it from Rancho Sahuarita.
Correct.
And they are pretty much know what they're going to put on it. And I know the land is actually a bigger piece of land that perhaps other services could go on.
Correct.
And then at this point, what is the town waiting for? Are you talking to them now about incentives? Are you talking about what's going on?
Yeah, well, I think a combination, and it's been so recent, I personally haven't been pulled into it because staff obviously takes the lead on that, but it'll probably be a small incentive package. Again, I haven't seen it. Much like the Crossing, our new retail development did, there was some relief on permitting and those types of things to try to get it in a little bit easier. And they do some pre-planning on site preparation and those types of things, infrastructure. So it's kind of a combination package that will be coming to us.
So this could potentially be the biggest construction project in Sahuarita's history.
Yes. I'm hearing upwards of about $45 million worth of investment, 150 jobs, average salary about $70,000. And as you know, Dan, we started really early as a great bedroom community, and we've really been working on a diversified economy for a number of years. And we really, I think, been working well on the retail side, but the jobs, bringing workforce development down, started with our SamTech project, which is going to be going virtually concurrently, with the Northwest Hospital coming down. So there's some really exciting times within the next 2 years, 2 to 3 years. There's going to be some significant investment in our community. As you know, Pima County's working at bringing the library down. The SamTech project is about $5 million. The new $20 million school, a $45 million hospital. It just sort of goes on and on and on, which is a great thing.
And part of it is that the jobs beget jobs.
Yes.
And we'll see that the hospital will create what I've heard somebody call that daytime traffic.
Correct.
Into restaurants.
Correct.
And whatever. So a restaurant doesn't have to survive just on the nighttime traffic because everybody's heading to Tucson during the day to work.
Correct.
And so we'll actually hopefully see a pickup in the things that excite people so much, which is new retail or restaurants or whatever.
Yes.
So this will feed into that, plus homes.
Yes, and then, as they always say, we're not sure if it's the chicken or the egg. Do rooftop come and then they bring retail, or does retail come mm-hmm. and then they bring rooftops?
Sure.
And I've always believed it's sort of a combination of both of those.
So, Dan, first, real quick, kudos to you guys, your whole newsroom, for being so far out in front of that story. Well done.
Appreciate it.
And I guess I have the same question that a lot of other people have raised, is why build a new hospital just a few miles away from an existing one? Why is there one needed?
And that's a reference to the Green Valley Hospital, which opened almost exactly 3 years ago. Yeah. It has been in bankruptcy, and it should be out of bankruptcy by the end of this month. It'll be going on its fourth CEO. It does not have an operator, so it doesn't have a Northwest or a Carondelet behind it, which has been part of the struggle.
It's a standalone facility.
Correct. And people love it because they've wanted it forever, but now we have another one in spitting distance. What was the thought behind this?
Yeah, well, that was Northwest's thought.
Sure, yeah, I agree.
Not mine. with you know, working with Rancho Cerrita, but I really believe in the abundance mentality as opposed to the scarcity. Because I remember a number of years ago, before Green Valley Hospital came in, there's a constant need of continuing looking at providing healthcare services. So then we had Green Valley Hospital, but they did really target mostly on the older population. They do not have pediatrics or OB or those types of things. Average age is about 74 in Green Valley. It's about 32 or 3 in Sahuarita. So, and the Green Valley Hospital is really on the southern edge of Green Valley, and Northwest is going to be really almost on the northern edge of Sahuarita. There's only one more exit north of us. So I sort of see it as a barbell, you know, two strong anchors on both ends. And I think they'll both look at their market and deliver where they're located. I get asked a lot. We have our third pet store, you know, PetSmart coming in, and it's like, yes. Why would you let that happen? And I have to tell people, we don't let or not let things happen. It's individual landowners working with individual developers and retailers and such that come in, and they all have their own market analysis. And you see auto, you know, stores, companies, they all cluster, restaurants cluster. So I really believe, I know there was a little bit of apprehension, right off the bat, but I think if we, it won't be built for 2 years, you know, completed for 2 years, I think there will be, and we'll have continual growth, and I think everybody will find their niche market and will serve the residents of both areas very well.
Well, and we're examining that right now, getting a hold of the people who've been instrumental, the advisory board for the hospital and others who, one has already told me just right off the cuff, it was right after getting the news. And by the way, we broke the news to the CEO of the Green Valley Hospital.
Yes.
And the head of the advisory board.
That must have been an interesting phone call.
That was. He is days
you
away
You didn't from, post a recording of that.
He's days away from leaving, but the advisory, hospital advisory board guys was near tears, I will tell you that, and said, look, I don't know how we are going to fill two hospitals. We can't even fill one. I think a lot of what Tom has said is accurate. I think that they've done a poor job marketing up north, but it's also tough to get people to drive south.
It is. It
for
absolutely either, is.
For shopping, yes. For lots of, I mean, the new Sprouts in town, which is farther south, has gotten more people to come down. But I have been amazed at how difficult, other than for Walmart,
right.
People will they'll come south for that, but it's tough.
It is, and I think a lot of it came from the fact that most of the jobs in the early days were all north of Sahuarita.
Yes,
so just people are creatures of habit.
They
they're
are
used to turning, making a right turn,
making
to
a right
north.
Turn, yeah. And if they make a right turn to go work, they make a right turn to go shop or to get their medical services. So again, I really do believe in that sort of abundance philosophy that I think everybody there will be enough. If marketed right, and as Dan knows, early on with the hospital, a lot of the medical users were out of Phoenix, you know, not local, a lot of Tucson.
Right.
John Matuska has done a great job of sort of retooling that a little bit. So I'm not as concerned, I think, at least initially, but we have a very close relationship with the Green Valley Council and Don Weaver and all those groups. So I think just collectively we'll get together and have a great message that for the serving the residents of both of our areas, we've got lots of opportunity and lots of choice, and that's better than what we had many years ago.
Okay, very good. And hey, I was a little bit excited to see on the agenda, or in the budget, I should say, the word pickleball.
Yes.
It looks like, who would have thought? And there's a healthy discussion going on our Facebook page about, oh, is this an old person sport, or is this a young person? And I did a fairly in-depth story on this in January that says, no, this is trending younger. Extraordinarily popular,
yes.
And now Sarita. But Sarita kind of was reluctant to jump in. So what's happening? And I know there are no details yet, but what's going on?
Yeah, well, I think it's really just my understanding is one of the fastest growing sports in the nation. It did start as an active adult community, and they sort of owned it for a number mm-hmm. of years. But as the changing sort of sports landscape, you know, golf is getting much tougher, and the struggle on those areas. And it's a little easier to learn and to pick up than tennis is. A lot of tennis courts and basketball courts that are relatively unused out there, and for very little money, you can, you know, stripe those. That's sort of the start of it. And the amount of interest, it is a tourism sport. I mean,
absolutely.
Casa Grande, I forgot the exact title of the competition, but
yes.
They brought thousands of people in from all over the United States for this tournament.
It was the U.S. Championships, which actually made it onto CBS Sports, believe it or not. So this thing is really growing. The head organization for it is actually out of Surprise, Arizona. So Arizona is not quite ground zero. I think it's still Florida, but as it trends younger, and there's prize money in tournaments,
yes.
younger people are going to be interested.
Right. Well, of course, you have the weather of Florida, Arizona, so
absolutely.
It's something you can play all year round. And again, you can pick it up relatively easy and relatively inexpensive.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
A top-line tennis racket is not anywhere near a top-line pickleball.
So if you are a doubter, you know what, get with the program. I think it's here to stay. At least it's coming to Sahuarita. We'll see that. So
I agree.
Okay, that is going to wrap it up for our Friday Focus interview. Our thanks to Sahuarita Mayor Tom Murphy for joining us. And Dylan Smith is going to stick around for our Friday roundtable discussion. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Humane Society of Southern Arizona's new location is open at 635 West Roger Road. Come fall in love with our pet-friendly cafe. Check out our giant cat habitats or meet a new dog friend in our doggy play yards. You can also bring your pet in for their vaccinations or spay-neuter surgery at our new state-of-the-art clinic. Come see all that we have to offer you and your pet at 635 West Roger Road. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona, saving your future best friend.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill. In fact, a lot of us have been doing that over the last couple of weeks as he and Ann have headed out for a little bit of R&R. I'm joined by Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com for the Friday Roundtable. It's just you and me, Dylan. Think we can handle it?
Yeah, I think so. There's really nothing to talk about this week, so we're just going to fill some space. But
I am going to revisit our hospital. We were just talking about that, and that is big news down in our area in Sahuarita. And it's big news not only because it's quite a project going in there, but also because of what is going to at least come off initially as competition for the Green Valley Hospital, which has been struggling. It was overbuilt, I feel.
Green Valley Hospital.
Yes, overbuilt, undermarketed, and never quite kind of got its niche. I think for a lot of people, the problem was that they were never sure what services were there and whether the services were still there because things have kind of come and go and whatever. It has it's done well. Like I said, they are just finishing up with their third CEO, and they will get a fourth. But it was coming out of bankruptcy. The group that bought it, I'm going to suspect, is going to try to flip it, quite honestly. And so we'll probably have them for a couple of years. And then they brought in a group that specializes in managing medical facilities in crisis. Let's just call it that. So still a little bit of a bumpy road down there. It's interesting. It's tough to get medical personnel to draw them to a hospital. I wonder how many are going to try to jump from the Green Valley Hospital to Sahuarita. That could be a big issue.
One thing I'm curious about with that, the new deal, the hospital that's being planned, is just how much of taxpayers' money is going to end up backstopping this. There was a After you reported the news about it, the Arizona Commerce Authority put out a press release on this, touting their involvement in it, which would indicate that there's going to be somehow some incentives going into this. And I'd kind of like to know what's going on there.
Absolutely. I think that one reason we pushed to get this out there was that we want the taxpayer involved as early as possible.
Yeah, now, absolutely.
Obviously, everything has to go through the council. We'll see it, but a lot of that's hammered out, and sometimes they'll just put up with the fact that people are stomping their feet and screaming in front of them for a little bit, and then they'll kind of go through with the deal. But the earlier you can get people in, the more you can their ideas can be weighed and considered. So we're hoping that will happen.
So you've got the possibility of town incentives, state incentives from the Commerce
Absolutely.
Authority.
Absolutely. Lots of stuff going on here. Very complicated, and we'll be slogging through this, I'm sure, through the next couple of years as they are trying to put this thing
in the
ground.
It's a significant change for your community, though.
It is big. It is. I was thinking the other day as I was driving through Sahuarita, and I've been there 9 years, how in the northern part where I live, there was one traffic light when I went there. There was not even a traffic light. as you exited I-19 at Sahuarita Road, it was a stop sign. and then those quickly went in on that overpass. And then now we have quite a few, and it's really developed farther down south. One more stop at Duval Mine Road. A lot of people think that is Green Valley. It is not. It has a Green Valley mailing address, Green Valley zip code, but it is in the town of Sahuarita. So we get all that tax revenue, which
I was pondering, having been down to visit your neck of the woods recently, and then with this story about the shift from that area being just solely a bedroom community for Tucson and retirees to being a more cohesive community in and of itself.
Yeah, and that's a great point, because I think people still, like I have always bristled at the idea of it being a bedroom community. But it is, and I'm not going to be short-sighted.
Well, for those of us from up here, up north, that's absolutely our conception of it, is that there's nothing there but some old people and a few people living in houses who are driving up here to go to work.
Absolutely, and about,
which is kind of true.
Oh, absolutely, it's true. I can't deny it. That's where my argument falls apart, yeah. Is when you introduce facts to it. So so I'm off on this one, but yeah.
But is that changing with things like having a hospital and having more locally owned retail and more schools?
Well, Tom would have been able to address this much better than me, but we actually have seen the percentages dropping of the number of people who actually work up in Tucson but live in Sahuarita, and it's roughly around two-thirds. Two-thirds of the people who work will work up there. And we are within an easy shot of the border, actually. So from the exit at my house, which is Sahuarita Road, that is 45 miles on I-19 down to the border, and it's a clear shot.
But it's so much longer in kilometers.
It is, which is what the street, the whole interstate is pegged at. I still get it from people who will drive it for the first time and say, good grief, man, why are you people doing this? It's a throwback to the days when we were all going to go metric, and the people just kind of liked it.
That worked out, didn't it?
Yeah, the country didn't go, but Green Valley says, yeah, we like it, and they've always pushed for it. There were some rumblings a few years ago, actually, to change that signage as they had to update it, and people said, no, we don't want to do that. So we'll see. Well, you mentioned that you were down in our area recently. You were. It was Sunday, and you were in Sahuarita at Quail Creek, leading a forum that I was not happy to give up my Sunday nap for, because it was the Arizona Corporation Commission. But it turned out to be quite exciting. And
hopefully just interesting.
The first part was exciting, which we'll get into here in a little bit, because one of the candidates made an announcement. But if you are prone to skip the Arizona Corporation Commission race or not interested in what's going on there, this is the year to really, really pay attention, because there are some very interesting backstories here. Republican versus Democrat, and why is it even a partisan race?
Well, people facing criminal charges in a trial that will start very soon.
Conflicts of interest, text messaging disputes over the last couple of years. Some great intrigue. But let's start out with first things first. We had a candidate who dropped out of the race. Now, I showed up thinking there were going to be five candidates, and then turns out a week ago one had dropped out, and then there were four, and then there were three. What happened?
Well, one of the candidates, whose name I can't even recall, he was running such an under-the-radar campaign. Bell, wasn't it?
Yeah, Jake Bell.
Jake Bell, that's it. I was thinking something with Jay. Jake Bell dropped out. He didn't have the most successful campaign. Wasn't going to have his nominating petitions, and then to our somewhat surprise, another candidate, the only Southern Arizonan in the race, in the Democratic primary side, came to the realization that even though he's a known quantity, a former corporation commissioner himself, wasn't going to be able to file all of the necessary nominating petitions, and decided to drop out, and raised a little bit of a kerfuffle that you ably helped us deal with about whether he was going to participate in the candidate forum or not if he wasn't going to be a candidate.
Yeah, that was the rub. And I think that's where we finally reached him. And I'm going to say his name.
Well, yeah, I wasn't trying to skip it or anything. It was Paul Newman, the actor, the former Corporation Commissioner.
Yeah.
And he did it after, stomping his feet a couple of times, gracefully accept our offer of being able to make that announcement in front of the crowd that was there for a couple of minutes that he was dropping out of the race.
And we should note that he says he'll be back in 2020. He just didn't think he was going to have the signatures this time. And so now,
and there's a reason he doesn't have the signatures, which is that there are two other former Democratic Corporation Commissioners who are sort of running a slate campaign with each other and doing a more coordinated job of getting on the ballot and getting their name out there this time around.
Right. So now we're down to three, and these are three Democrats, and Sandra Kennedy and Bill Mundell, who both have served on the commission and could claim to be victims of some of the shenanigans, we'll call them that, that have been going on the last 3 or 4 years.
That's an old word.
And they pretty much feel that they were ousted based on the backing of GOP candidates by Arizona Public Service dollars. APS will not admit to having been involved in the 2014 election, but the numbers are out there for 2016. They're heavily involved, pouring money into this.
Millions.
Millions and millions. And they think that the Republicans were going to give them, the rate increase they wanted. And guess what happened? They got the rate increase they wanted. Yeah. So this just doesn't look good. But it's under this cloud that this whole thing is being played out. My role at the forum was to introduce you.
Thank you for that.
but also to tell people, what does the Corporation Commission do? Because that's always the first question everybody gets.
And I don't want to neglect her. There is the third candidate who is a part of the forum and on the Democratic primary side,
right.
Kiana Sears, who's a former staffer for the Corporation Commission.
Right.
And I jump up and down about the Corporation Commission election every 2 years because I think it is the most important vote you can make. That it will be, as far as the effect on your day-to-day life, the bills that you pay every month are essentially approved by the Corporation Commission. The governor, the legislature, Congress, these people all do some very important things, but these races are buried down at the bottom of the ballot and directly affect your pocketbook every month. And people skip over them and don't pay any attention to it and don't realize the whole wide swath of what the Corporation Commission does.
Well, I termed it boring but important. You took a little bit of an issue with that at the forum, but that's exactly what it is. It's people, you're right. Every time you pay your electric bill
your phone bill, your water bill, your electric bill, your gas bill, whether the gas pipeline run into your house is going to start leaking, which we've had problems with down here. All of that stuff falls under the purview of the Corporation Commission.
Or you find yourself asking, why do we live in a state that has 300 days of sunshine a year and we're not doing more with solar?
Yes.
The Corporation Commission deals specifically with that question, and so it's very, very important. So,
candidates, I can't remember who, I think it may have been Senator Kennedy, suggested to the crowd that they start at the bottom of their ballot and work their way up so that they don't skip over these really important things. And that doesn't hold true just for the Corporation Commission, but things like school board elections and as school board bonds and all that stuff is buried down at the ballot, at the bottom of the ballot, and people fill in the top couple of races and then get bored and wander away. Turn it around. Start at the bottom.
Well, I
think that's a great idea.
All politics is local, and again, if you don't know what's going on, don't vote. And certainly, if it's an
don't
R
just take
or
a
D.
blind guess based on party, especially.
Yeah, really. And again, this is a very interesting read. So spend some time just looking into some of the past news stories.
Well, you had a really good piece. Agree with it or not, it was quite well written and. a little bit passionate about the Corporation Commission this past weekend.
You know, they do important stuff. Let's just say that, and I always believe that. But we need to be careful. There is so much room for corruption or for doing favors or for. Really, though, affecting the future of the state.
And what is it, next week that trial starts? So one of the former corporation commissioners is about to go on trial for bribery.
Right,
They're not just doing favors, but, he's might be convicted of straight-up bribery.
Right, that's Gary Pierce. So, again, something to watch. That's part of what has gone on in the last few years that make this such an interesting race. But I want to go back to just kind of the election in general. We're seeing a lot of a lot going on the Senate level. Kyrsten Sinema is going to be down in our neck of the woods here next week. Looking forward to meeting with her. Martha McSally, obviously out there, Joe Arpaio, Kelly Ward. These are getting a lot of traction. Our Republican and Democrat headquarters are up and rolling. We've been spending some time there this week. People are pretty excited for it being a midterm election. People are very excited.
Well, part of that is emanating from the controversies about the top of the ticket last time around. And I think... President Donald Trump creates such a visceral reaction from people who either love him or hate him that is still reflected in a lot of what we're seeing going on in those down ballot midterm races this time around.
And that's a big question mark, is what effect the president is going to have on these races, and we'll see. I'm asking every candidate who comes through that question, and some of them are more than open to talking about it, and others really just wish it would go away. So
some of them are keeping very mum about Trump.
Well, and that's because Trump can change. I mean, it can be a completely different story tomorrow than it is today. And so, why hitch your wagon to that at this point? We had a call from Robert. He was asking about urgent care centers, back to the hospital issue, and wanted to know if some of those were popping up down in our area. And oddly enough, we have one, and it's run by Northwest. So the question is, will that one continue? And we've asked that question. We're seeing if we can get an answer to that.
How long has that been there?
And that one's probably been there maybe 3 or 4 years.
So that was kind of them testing the waters, probably?
Yeah, it could be. Robert, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Was that the gist of your question?
Well, I have a follow-up question.
Okay. We got about 30 seconds. We're real short here.
Okay. I don't understand why a person in an emergency situation would want to be driven all the way to Tucson when there's a hospital. Do you get to decide when you're in an ambulance what hospital you go to?
Okay, I'll answer that, because I actually know the answer to that question. If you're the patient and you're lucid, yes, you do. Number two, believe it or not, the guy driving the fire engine gets to make that decision. He usually doesn't want to. So it comes down to the ambulance driver often will decide. The reason a lot of people weren't going to the Green Valley Hospital is because they wanted to avoid double transports in case they didn't have the services that they wanted. They just figured they'd go up. Obviously, if it's trauma, head trauma, there's only one place in Tucson that has a level one trauma center, and that's where you go.
Well, and the hospitals have a bit of a say as well if they're communicating and they say, we can't take you right now. Please go somewhere else. That certainly plays into that decision.
Okay, very good. So, okay, that is going to wind it up for our Friday roundtable with Dylan Smith. Thank you for being here. Tucson
Always
Sentinel.
Always a pleasure.
TucsonSentinel.com. We're going to be right back with a little help planning your long Memorial Day weekend.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
It's now time for Weekend Watch, the best way to plan your next couple of days. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. So much to do in Silver City and Grant County, like exploring historic downtown Silver City or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Matt Russell, are you there?
I'm here. Two consecutive weekend watches with you. I'm loving my double dose of Dan.
Oh, man. And I embarrassed myself last week by not knowing what rosé was. I thought it was a rose.
Oh. I'm sure you've redeemed yourself, sir.
Well, we forget about things quickly in Green Valley. So that's the benefit there. And here we have a long Memorial Day weekend. And you got some great tips for us.
Yeah, I do. You know, an annual Tucson tradition, more than two decades long, starts tonight at Kingfisher on Grant Road. It's their iconic summer road trip, which takes guests on a series of virtual trips across America with custom regional menus. Now, the first trip menu honors the flavors and traditions of the Southwest. And after 2 weeks in the Southwest, the trip will head to other regions for two-week stops, including back east and down south, Midwest, and others. Now, of course, the Kingfisher menu will also be available during the entire summer. But for me, I'm all about the adventure, so I say buckle up.
What a great idea. And now we're going to head down to Main Gate Square. What's going on there?
Yeah, Memorial Day weekend always seems to kick off barbecue season, Dan. And the newest restaurant to open here in Tucson features barbecue in several different expressions. It's called the Buffalo Spot. And it opened just
Great.
Last week on Tyndall Avenue in Main Gate Square. Think Kansas City-style ribs and buffalo wings, succulent chicken, 14 different sauces to kick it up. Now, my family actually hails from Buffalo, which is why I'm excited to try the Buffalo Spot this weekend.
Excellent, excellent. And that is a hearty bunch from Buffalo. I'm telling you, that's not an easy place to be from. So we got one more here, and it's the old Vino.
Yeah, Hacienda del Sol is going to be the spot tomorrow for those who love great food and wine pairings. Starting at 2 p.m., they're going to be featuring Tapas and Vino, an event built around delicious small dishes and wines that pair well with them. The most fascinating thing of all, though, they're going to be serving wine popsicles. Wine popsicles, which I say enables you to libate and hydrate at the same time.
Are those legal? Are those legal? You just got to ask yourself, though.
Somebody get the liquor board on line one, please.
But
Tapas and Vino is only $30 a person. It's tomorrow at the Hacienda del Sol.
Sounds like a great deal. And hey, give us a sneak preview of your column, Inside Tucson Business.
Yeah, there's a section of Arizona liquor law, speaking of, called Series 19 that allows craft distilleries and wineries to do some pretty cool things, and I report on how one of them rose to that very occasion. It's all in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Oh, excellent. So that is Matt Russell with the Weekend Watch. Some great tips for this long Memorial Day weekend. Thank you very much, Matt.
Cheers, Dan. Thanks.
Great. Great to have you. And if you are down in our part of the of the community, 9 a.m. Monday at Green Valley Cemetery, we are going to have a Memorial Day ceremony that's every year put on by the American Legion Post, and it's always a great opportunity just to remember those who have gone before us, and we meet some great people down there, so I hope you get a chance to do that.
Ceremonies going on at cemeteries all across Tucson.
Yep,
for Memorial Day. And I think it's important to remember what that is all about. It's not just a barbecue and fun and hanging out at the park.
Absolutely. Just take time to remember this weekend. We hope you do. The Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill McMaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our team here at KVOI, including producer-engineers Tom Fairbanks, Ray Allen, Ed Alexander, production supervisor Jerry Cross, station owners Doug and Mary Martin, and Buckmaster Show executive assistant Rosemary Brandt, I'm Dan Scheer, wishing you a fantastic long Memorial Day weekend.